Good morning, and welcome to Let's Talk Wyoming. I'm Mark Hamilton, your host, and today we'll take a quick look at weather and some layoffs in the state. We'll be having part two of our interview with Wendy Schuler as we dive into sports. And finally, today we'll talk about why I live in Wyoming. Thanks for listening today. Hope you enjoy our show. Taking a look at Wyoming news, and we have kind of a potpourri today. Again, as we reported last week and in previous episodes, the weather is hot and it's dry, and taking a couple trips around, it definitely, the grass is drying out pretty drastically. Could be a treacherous fire season in front of us, so we'll hope for the best, maybe some cool downs. In other news in the state of Wyoming, the town of St. Clair, Wyoming, and Rawlins, Wyoming, have been affected by some layoffs at the St. Clair oil refinery. And in the reports that I saw, there's 87 people that were notified that their roles have been eliminated. And I think 32 were informed that they were going to be laid off immediately. And then the rest will be in September of 2022. Has a major impact on a community when you lose jobs. These jobs are nice paying jobs, high paying jobs. So again, the resources are out. The state of Wyoming, through the governor's office, announced that they will help out through their employment agencies. Also, I assume that the refinery will have people that will be available to help with these employees. Usually, they, when there's layoffs like this, the company will come in and help with transition, will provide all the assistance they can. I'm assuming there's going to be some type of a severance package for these people. But it does have a major impact. A lot of sleepless night I feel for the people in these communities, the people that have been laid off and are going to be laid off in September. It has a major impact on your family, everyone around the community. Thoughts and prayers out to all those people affected down in the St. Clair and Rawlins area. And finally today, an update on our famous bear 399. And her four offspring. And kind of sad news, one of the young bears was killed due to some issues that the game and fish had concerns about. The other three are reported doing okay at this time. The last report, they were in bear country, staying away from problems. And no reports on 399 and her potential suitor, Bruno, that we had talked about earlier. As soon as we hear anything on our famous 399 or her offsprings, we'll be sure to update you.
We had an opportunity to catch up with Wendy Davis Schuler. Wendy is the Wyoming Senator from District 15 for Uinta County. She is a retired teacher and a coach and a member of the 1976 Women's Olympic basketball team.
This will be part two of our interview. We played part one last week. Let's go off to that part two interview.
Let's talk about that Olympic experience. I happened to do a little research, and I saw some of the names on that Olympic team that you were on. And I got to thinking about, there were people on that team that were, I mean, Nancy Lieberman, Pat Summitt, if I remember right, Ann Myers. They were, I mean, you're talking, those are just three that I saw. I mean, Pat mm-hmm. Summitt, I mean, she's on Mount Rushmore of coaching and such. I mean, just talk about that experience, it being around those type of people and how they might have influenced you. Maybe there are people that you are still in contact. I know Pat Summitt has passed on, but just talk about that experience if you could.
Well, honestly, Ann Myers was probably the person that I grew closest to because I had to guard her occasionally during the playoffs and right. when we were trying out. She is an amazing athlete, probably the best athlete of anyone that was in the tryouts. And, you know, it's interesting about, probably, I can't remember if it was 20 years after that or so, I was at a Women's Basketball Coaches Association. I got selected to be a coach for the West. They just called it the West All-Stars. So it was all the Division I athletes that were going on to colleges, and they picked a coach from each state. So I got to go out there, and she was one of the high, you know, she was a highlight because she was one of the main speakers. And So she looked at me when she came in to speak that day, and she said, "I remember you, Wendy from Wyoming." And that's all she could remember. I mean, we hadn't stayed in contact, but it was just amazing to because, you know, she ended up being a commentator. She actually took a stab at playing in the pros, the men's league at that time. It didn't happen completely, but Nancy Lieberman, Pat Summitt. Now, Pat Summitt was injured at the time when I was trying out. And so I think she had already done a tryout on the East Coast. And so I actually didn't get to meet her or talk to her at that time, but she eventually, I think, was healed up enough to be able to play. But I tell you, the other person that probably did the most damage to me just recently passed away, Lucia Harris. She was an All-American. And actually, I think she was the one that came down on my foot that continued to break, that broke my foot. I tried to continue to go, but the trainers there, they actually fixed a special shoe for me because my foot was swelling up so bad. And finally, after it got stepped on a few times, and I had it actually was a compound fracture, and ended up having bones coming through the skin. I still was trying to drag myself up and down the court. And I had a trainer that went over to the committee and said, she's not going to be able to go. So that was sad, but just having the experience of playing with some of these amazing, amazing women athletes and having that opportunity to even try out. You know, I was surprised. I guess I just had enough respect from some of the college coaches I played against to be able to get asked to try out. And that in and of itself was pretty amazing for a little hometown girl from Mountain View, Wyoming. So it was exciting. And like I said, I feel very honored to have had just the opportunity to be around some of these great folks. And then, of course, to see people like Pat Summitt, I did get to go watch some of her teams play. I did go to some of the Final Fours, and she was amazing. And I always wanted to go up and introduce myself and say hello and whatever, but I didn't, but kind of regret that too. But anyway, had some great opportunities.
Let me ask you a sidebar here. When you said Mountain View, I've coached at Mountain View. I called it the Thunderdome one time. Was that the original gym?
No, it isn't. Actually, the gym that I played in it's demolished now, but it was when they built that Thunderdome, that became the middle school basketball area. Okay. And so where I played is no longer there.
Okay.
This shows just my age, I guess. As much as I lie about my age, I can't lie too much. Some of those things, but played in the Thunderdome. I coached against the Mountain View Buffies, so I had some teams that played over there. And right, I used to always tell I coached in Lyman also, so I made the whole turn around the county. And I used to tell the kids in Lyman and even ones here in Evanston that I coached, now we can't lose to Mountain View. It's my hometown, and they'll be giving me a hard time for now until the end of time. So we've got to beat them, and most of the time we did. So
let's talk about girls basketball. Where do you feel it is at now? How much has it grown? And kind of give us your thoughts on girls basketball in the state of Wyoming, where we are as a state.
Well, it's come a long ways, baby. It really has. Honestly, I look at the teams. My daughter, I was so excited. Actually, both of my daughters coached the Evanston team this year. And so that was really fun to me, sit up in the stands and watch them coach. They only did it for a year. Unfortunately, my son-in-law had a stroke, and so my daughter decided to get out of it, obviously for his health and to be with him. Otherwise, she'd still be coaching. But I'm watching those teams, and I'm thinking about some of the early teams I coached, and gosh, the speed, the athleticism, just the basketball sense. It's just strategy is so much better. I mean, my daughter did come to me a couple times and ask. I tried to just, you know, stay kind of under the radar and not say anything. But there were a couple of times she'd say, you know, "Mom, what would you do about this or that or whatever?" That was always kind of fun to have that. But I really did try to just stay out of it. But where it's come in the years since I played and since I coached, it's quite a transition. I'm very proud of what we've done in Wyoming with women's sports.
Who do you think was the best girls basketball player that you have seen or coached in Wyoming? And you can't include yourself.
that's a tough one. You know, I'm actually going to put it down to a couple.
Okay.
And I don't know if I can just pick one.
But that's fine. A couple would be fine. Yeah. I expected that.
Yeah. I've actually got a pick one player that I coached, Debbie Jacobson, who played at the University of Colorado. She was an All-American, high school All-American, and she was, if I'd have just had anything much to go with her, we were a little short on guards that year, and she had to do it all, unfortunately, but right. She would have to be in my, at least my top two or three. I really like the, of course, Rhonda Munger, I still think is one of the better athletes that ever came out of Wyoming all around. I'm not sure she was really the best basketball player, but she was easily one of the top athletes. The gal that, Robbie Ryan, I think from Sheridan, right, would have to be in there. I thought she was pretty amazing. You know what? I'm also going to throw McKinley Bradshaw in there. Now she's related to me. She's my cousin's daughter, and you know, she would definitely be in the top five. Right. Played at the University of Wyoming and had a great career down there. So I don't know. Just, I can't pick one.
Well, my mind is I don't remember her first name, is Newland, that played at Riverton. She went to play at Stanford, and the Johnson girl from Natrona, I think she also went to Stanford. So, but that's always a good question. Let's change the other side of the court to the next game. I did see that you coached boys basketball. Mm-hmm. So tell me, how was that? How was your transition between the two sports?
Well, you know, it was easy for me because basketball is basketball, but it was in the early days. We were on the four sports season. I don't know if you remember that, but we had four seasons, and that was the reason I was able to coach. I wasn't the head coach. I was an assistant, and the game, again, I played against the boys, so I was used to the quickness of it, and the strategy wasn't really any different. The thing that was interesting is you kind of had to get the respect of the boys and for them to understand that you knew the game. And I think I did that fairly quickly, and they became pretty comfortable with me. And the thing about them that's probably easier is that you didn't have to deal with all the emotional stuff that sometimes you deal with. Sometimes a girl, you know, gets dumped at noon by the boyfriend, and she comes in and she's not worth a darn to practice, and maybe not worth a darn 2 days later at the game. The guys, if they got dumped by their girlfriend, it's like whoop-de-doo. They go in and they go to practice, nothing, no big deal.
Right.
So they were a little easier to coach in terms of the lack of emotion. But on the other hand, girls, if you could get them emotionally into whatever it is you were trying to get them to do, sometimes I think their emotions carried them a little further in terms of, you know, they're the type that would, you know, run through a brick wall for you if you asked them to. And the boys, I enjoyed it. It was a great experience. Had some fun times with them, and again, as just an assistant, the only thing that was tough there was the head coach. He ran a little bit slower game. He liked to slow it down. He didn't like to press and run and gun. It was hard for me as an assistant to kind of, all right, we're going to slow it down and work the ball around and, you know, to get the best shot. And then all of a sudden I get into the girls game, and I was a run and gun and press and get after it kind of a coach. And so it was, that transition was probably the hardest.
Now let me, last question here for you. What is the number one responsibility of a coach? When you coach, what was the maybe one or two of the things that were in your mind that, what was your priority as a coach?
Well, I'll just tell you the same thing I gave the advice to my daughter is, I said, you know, here's the only thing I can tell you to do is to have fun with this game and to make sure that the kids enjoy the game of basketball when they're done. And hopefully try to get them better every day so that they it's a good experience, but really have fun, enjoy the game, appreciate and respect the game of basketball. Obviously making sure it's safe, but you know, having fun was part of the deal for me. And so that's the only advice I gave my daughter. So that's the best advice I can give you.
You know, that is important. And I think today I finally woke up after a period of time, and you start looking at what the kids are dealing with. You know, a lot of these kids have a lot of pressure at home, a lot of pressure from parents to perform. And so I kind of, originally I was coaching, and then I got to be, started to really start feeling for these kids. And in my opinion, I always told my parents in our parents meeting that, you know, we don't have a lot of professional athletes in the state of Wyoming, and probably we're not going to have a lot from our school. But I said, my goal as a coach is to make sure that when that kid is 30 years old, that they have accomplished something, that they've learned a work ethic, they're contributing to society. And so that was the part about getting a base, and everything else builds from that. But I guess a little bit more compassion. And I just feel those kids just need somebody to look up to. can be an example for them. They really need an adult sometimes in their life. And I don't know if that's as much with the girls, but with boys, I've found that. So
honestly, I the best thing that I think that I can say about my experience is that when I have kids that come back to our community and they call me and they say, hey, coach, you know, can you come down and have a cup of coffee or a pop or something? And I go, absolutely. That's, to me, that it shows me that they cared about the experience. They had a good time, and hopefully they respected me enough that they still want to have some communication and connection. So making connections with kids is, that's it right there in a nutshell. You're right.
Well, Wendy, again, probably about out of time, kept you too long. But again, I thank you for being on. I knew the coaching side that we probably could talk for another hour on coaching and stuff. And I enjoy it so much. But again, thank you for what you do for the state of Wyoming. I think it's you should be recognized for serving. I think that's something that people have to do and that you stepped up. And again, we want to wish you good luck in your reelection. And we hope that we can maybe talk to you again, maybe next session. And kind of look and see where they stand with our fairness in women's sports. So again, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much. And like I said, I've had a chance to listen to some of your podcasts and you do some amazing things. So thanks for what you do. We appreciate you.
All righty. Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a great day. Bye.
You too.
And finally today, why I live in Wyoming. And this came from the Basin Republican Wrestler. And after reading through this, a week ago, determined this is why I live in the state I do. And this is from the police report for Bighorn County. And I rather enjoyed this. I wanted to share it with everyone. And these are some of the reports that have come into the police and the sheriff's department. Starting off, there was someone that stomped through the flowers behind the chamber and left shoes behind. A dog was reported to be missing at South 4th and Montana Avenue. On June 30th, a woman at an apartment building reported two young raccoons in the bushes in her yard. She is not from the area and wondered if the police would want to catch them and remove them from the town limits. A cat was reported stuck in a tree on South 5th. The cat came down on its own. On July 1st, a dog was running around on North 4th Street. A resident reported a lost dog on South 3rd Street. Two black dogs were out on North 4th Street. A citation was issued. A dog was loose on South 8th Street. Suspicious circumstances reported on South 3rd Street. On the Grable River Road in Grable, deputies assisted a citizen calling to check if their cat was in the pound. Information was given. 8/11 on June 29th. Calves were out on Highway 433 in Manderson. At 10:02 a.m. on West B Street in Basin, deputies took information about a lost dog. At 2:02, a cow was out on the Highway 14 in Shell. A citizen reported that they were put the cow back in, but the gate was broken and wouldn't stay closed. Deputies responded to a dog at 7:50 a.m. that was out on Highway 310 in Grable. At 8:49 on Highway 14 in Shell, deputies took information about cows. At 8:20 on Logan Avenue in Manderson, deputies responded to a dog running through a yard. On July 2nd at 5:25 a.m., cows were out on Highway 20 South in Basin. And at 1:57 p.m., deputies were on C Street in Basin, assisting community relations at Washington Park. And finally, on July 3rd at 2:30 p.m., deputies assisted a motorist in need of a tow truck on Highway 14 in Shell. A rather nice life to live in the state of Wyoming when this is what we have on our police reports in our day-to-day lives.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today, and we hope you enjoyed our show. As per the Code of the West, we ride for the brand, and we ride for Wyoming here at Let's Talk Wyoming, your Everything Wyoming podcast.